I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So Eric and I are joined by a very special guest co-host today. It is MJ from Shaw's. Hi, MJ.
Hi.
Hi, Megan. Are you?
Good. So excited to chat with you today. And Eric, of course.
Obviously. I mean, we're so happy to have you because honestly, there is so much going on in Bravo news, on air. Like, I just need your emotional support through this day because there is just so much to talk about.
Yes, I know. I'm equally thrilled and I definitely burned calories watching the last episode of SLC. So yeah. I'm right
Before
there with you.
We get into the show updates. I want you to give fans an update on you. What's been happening since we last saw you at the Shaw's reunion.
Yes. And you know what? I wanted to mention to you guys, one of the things that's new with me is that Tommy and I have started our own pod, Till the Dirt podcast, Till the Dirt with Tommy and MJ. We started it in August. It's so much fun. We just talk crap to each other and we retrace the steps from like the very first day. And we work our way through like other relatable stories. And it's really fun for us to just step outside of Shaw's and in between seasons, we can just still connect with the audience. And we've gotten really amazing feedback because a lot of the stuff that we talk about is just so common day struggles and people can like laugh with us and solve things and just have a really good time with it. So I would really, really, really appreciate you guys mentioning that. We have such a good time doing it. So that's like one of the most exciting things update wise from us.
That's super exciting.
Yeah. On Apple, Spotify, wherever podcasts are found, it's called Till the Dirt. Okay. So I just want to share a quick story about my toddler this morning. I let him sleep in. What a fool I am. Because what happens is I had plenty of time to drop him off and get everything done for he has class every morning for like 2 hours. So like a block away at this awesome place. So anyway, I digress. I had plenty of time to get him ready and out the door, except I didn't account for him having like a 15, 20 minute temper tantrum, like where
there's
like a period where he's not going to get dressed. He's not going to want me to change his diaper. He doesn't want anything at all. Like he's inconsolable. So like I had to like kind of let him self-soothe and like calm himself down. And like the sniffles came to like and I was like, bitch, you didn't leave time for this extra 20 minutes. Now, how are you going to get ready for today? Because I got glam for you guys, even though we're not fully on camera. I will be.
We still appreciate it very much.
I'll send you a selfie after we're done. I even tried to put pearl bobby pins in my hair. So yeah. But I have a question, Megan. Like on the days that you do your makeup, do you feel like maybe yesterday it only took you like 5 minutes. So then this morning you're overly confident about it, like being that fast.
Right. Like, but my thing is more like, where did I put that? Like I get lost in the misplacement of items. So I feel like how organized I am affects the amount of getting ready time. But I totally agree that like, I often miscalculate.
And thank you for like connecting on a deep level to me with that, because every single day I'm trying to put something on and I was like, I'm not going to cuss.
That's
I was
fine.
Like, oh shoot. I put it in my purse and like, which purse was it? Is it still in the car? Like, where is it? And then like, you don't have 10 minutes to run around the house and find like every single thing. It's yeah. So I'm glad that like to connect with you guys on important things.
Well, you know, I have had a burning question for you. So aside from the podcast, you know, I do Life After Bravo and I interviewed Lily Galici recently.
Oh, I have to listen.
And she did. Oh, we were talking about which Shaw she's still in connection with, like who she's still talking to.
Rosa and Golnessa and Mike.
And she said that you called her recently. And I was like, well, what did MJ say? And she said, well, I didn't pick up. It was probably a butt dial. But I was like, maybe she was calling to like rekindle a friendship.
I didn't call her. Sorry. Ooh. That's a lie.
She's disputing it.
she's totally lying. I think she's just trying to stir something up. But I know that. So when we were on the air, when she, what is it, season 2 and 3, I let people, and I won't name names, get away with such like horrible things and accusations. And like, so I just didn't even know how to stand up for myself, because our first season of Shaw's was a half season, 6 episodes. So like, I was still very green, and up to this day, I'm extremely bad judge of character, because I imagine every single person on this planet is going to be good and kind and without any ulterior motive. So I'm still learning that lesson every day.
After this many years on reality TV, still learning that lesson.
Seriously, no joke. Oh my God. And I look up and I'm like, Dad, what am I doing wrong? What can I do better? Oh my God.
Well, I'm glad you survived your crazy morning with Shams and his, you know, terrible twos tantrum. But
shout out to all the moms out there who struggle every morning thinking that they have everything together. And then you are, I mean, he got to school on time, which is fine, but like, I'm just saying, like, you'll see all the out of hair, hairs out of place when I send you my picture.
You're like, I tried. Okay. This is the best you're going to get.
Yes, exactly.
Well, before we get into some announcements, we do have some sad Bravo news. Lisa Rinna's mom, Lois, passed away earlier this week after suffering a stroke. So we are sending all our love and condolences to Lisa Rinna and her whole family. I mean, Lois has been on the show so much. She's a Bravo icon, in my opinion.
Yeah, she's such a light. She's such a cool. And, you know, I always imagine Lois and how they brought up Rinna as an only child. You know, she's, mm-hmm. And then every time that she had Lois around her, Lisa was so calm and so happy. And it just seemed like, you know, she was really living when she got to hang out with her mom, which I can totally relate to. So, you know, it's really, really hard to lose a parent. And as an only child, she's doing it alone. And I mean, not that she doesn't have other people grieving with her. I'm just saying that it's something I totally, you know, send love and strength. And I think I might even see Rinna at, on Thanksgiving morning, because that's we volunteer together on that on an annual basis. We make meals and they go out, and it's Project Angel food, as a matter of fact.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. Well, give her a hug for us, please.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Of course. Sorry, I was like, oh, so sad.
I know, but we do have. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry, but like, you guys know I'm obsessed with you. What about this, when they say like when one soul dies, like another soul like is born? And I feel like with the passing of Greg Leakes, that another baby was born between like her and the people that she wasn't talking to, like Kim Zolciak, like Andy, you know, whoever else is in that kind of, we weren't talking, but Greg passed and this is what, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like these rekindlings.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it's interesting because actually Kenya in an interview recently said that she would like for Nene to return to Atlanta, even despite mm-hmm. everything that the two of them have been through, because mm-hmm. she feels as though Nene has a really important story to share right now. And I think that's very mm-hmm. true.
Very true. And you know what? Hopefully both of them have grown up a little bit emotionally, because she, poor Kenya, has had her ass kicked so many times in the last, you know, like she's just been unlucky in love, you know? So like, I think that having a baby and having that stuff and what Nini's gone through has to soften their hearts up for, you know, a reconciliation and seeing, like, not that they, you know what I mean? They just for having a different lens to look at life, and maybe they can have this completely different new relationship with each other.
Totally. Yeah. Well, speaking of Kenya, Real Housewives Ultimate, she does look so good. Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip has dropped on Peacock, and the first three episodes are actually available to stream. And I mean, what other word can we describe it other than epic? Can you, like, having that many housewives in one place together from different franchises? Come on.
My heart is pounding. Like, my, I'm like so excited. And you know, my husband, when he streams Peacock, he pays the $9.99, so he doesn't have any ads. So we're like full fledged. For me, this is going to be, because Tommy watches 30 Rock, and I'm like, I am so excited. I'm going to, that, like, isn't it cool to be able to binge the first three episodes? I'm so excited.
And we thank you, Tommy, for subscribing.
Also, Tommy. Real Housewives of Orange County season 16 trailer dropped. Ooh, I'm not sure if you watch OC, do you, MJ?
Are you kidding me? So let's talk about the long view paparazzi shot of Heather Dubrow at the very, very end of that long ass corridor of that big ass house. Wow. I was like, damn. And so she was wearing like gold Saint Laurent and gold matching crossbody bag. And it was like, they were really putting Miss Dubrow up, you know,
letting up, girl. And her being like, I'm back.
Yes. She actually was like, it was, I mean, I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. And I've watched and I've never missed a season of OC. So I think it's going to be refreshing. And we have two new people. And I heard Tamra Judge on Jeff Lewis Live saying that today Vicky Gunvalson is going to be on, and they're going to have like this reconciliation. And Tamra was talking about how Heather and the new cast member butt heads. So I feel like I have like inside scoop, and I'm really excited. Yeah.
Ooh, that is good. Well, that is going to premiere December 1st at 9/8 Central.
I can't wait till December 1st. I need it sooner.
Also, obviously, we're going to get into this in our recaps today, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, but the after show also premiered this week. And I am obsessed with it because we do hear from Jen Shah about what happened after she left the Beauty Lab parking lot, because the episode we're recapping today, we don't see Jen at all. We get the, you know, shot of her walking out of the courthouse, all that, but we don't get any sort of first person experience with her. So the after show has all that. So you can watch that on BravoTV.com or YouTube.
And that's available only on BravoTV.com. And when did that come out? On Sunday night, or it's
Sunday
out
night? Yeah, it'll come out after every new episode for the rest of the season.
I didn't know that. That's, I absolutely, yes, thank you for telling me, hon. Because, you know, I thought during the episode when they were talking about what was going on with her and they said, she's out, she's been released, I was like, is this bitch going to show up to this dinner? Like,
I know.
Yeah. Like, knowing her, she would have been like, where's my car? I'm going to Vail. I'm not going to miss this girl's weekend.
She might not have been able to charter a plane. But
Right. And she couldn't borrow one of the helicopters? Like, hey, SWAT team, can you drop me off in Vail?
Do you mind? Okay, so what are we recapping today?
Well, we have to talk about Real Housewives of Potomac reunion part two. Mm-hmm. Of course, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. What else are we going to talk about? And then Winter House.
Amazing.
Oh my God. All I have to say about part two of Potomac is Giselle cried.
That's I know.
That shows the level of deep, I'm gonna cry. That shows like the level of deepness of a relationship that we have. You've seen my kids grow up.
I have.
And you would never disrespect them.
Never.
And so I appreciate that.
Don't make me cry. Jeez, I'm gonna cry.
I just want to say I've never seen you really get emotional. Ever. Why is that making you emotional?
Because Karen could have sat there and not moved and just waved to the kids. Or she could have done whatever. but she didn't. And that meant everything to me.
I mean, she, for all the things that she could have, it was so understandable too. Like, it, Karen being kind to her children, and all it took was like the warmth of standing up and giving them a hug. And I felt that so deeply.
Yeah, I think it is one of those things where we don't see Giselle vulnerable ever, but it's nice to know that her soft, sweet spot is her kids. Well, and that's the thing that's going to send her over the edge, you know?
Yeah. And I think we talked about this last week, Megan. I was saying that at the end of the day, Karen does care about Giselle and she has her best interests in mind. Even though she's shady, she takes digs at her all the time. It's a little easy to do so in a lot of instances with what Giselle has brought to the show and everything with Jamal. But this was an instance where I was really happy to see the two of them come to a place where maybe going into another season, they can actually be more friends than frenemy. But I don't want the shade to go away. You know, I hope that still stays.
You know, I sat next to Karen for the premiere of Potomac this season on Watch What Happens Live. And she is just such the queen of the read. Like the way she came with that Sing Sing Hampton University.
I mean,
I almost fell off my chair, you know? But there was a moment where I was like, so you and Giselle are beefing that hard? And, you know, there was such a look and feeling of love in her response. Like, I am so excited for them too, because I really believe that they want to like pivot in their relationship.
Move on.
Yeah. I think that to your point about how much Giselle has been like, how much she's been through with Jamal, like, she definitely feels hurt. Like, she definitely tried to conceal. I mean, from what I see, she tried to conceal her disappointment and pain from the fallout of their relationship. So that on top of what impact it's making on her daughters, because she wants to, of course, set a great example. Like, I'm over here worried about, you know, my son's temper tantrums, long-term effects. Imagine how she feels seeing, you know, her three daughters that are at such an important age, because they're going to choose the type of relationship that they grow up with. That's like something like that psychologists say, like, you have to make sure that you don't carry this into, you know, your next thing. Anyway.
Right.
Yeah. So sorry, I digress a lot.
We love it. Well, as someone who, you know, your relationship has been front and center on Shaw's many a time, do you think that Giselle often doesn't give as much of her relationships as she should? Because we do see her bring up other people's a lot. And that's been a conversation that's happened a few times this season.
Right. Of course. I think every one of us, like, I think I'm extremely open with my relationship. And then if one thing comes out on somebody else's relationship and they just can't handle it, they feel like we're going for the jugular. Whereas for me, I'm like, what's jugular about that? I'm it's comfortable for me to expose, because I don't think of it as exposing. I think of it as I'm just sharing, like, this is what's happening. I can talk about it. Whereas other people are like, how dare you bring this up? So I feel like it also, it's like when I watch Giselle and she comes for other people's marriage, I'm always like, damn, Giselle, like, you're being such a hypocrite right now. Like, how are you going to get away with this? You know? And she's got such a stoic exterior. And you know that whenever that happens, understandably, like, everyone else in her group is going to get really, really frustrated. Why is our stuff not off limits? Whereas you get to, she very graciously or methodically or like professionally has a way of just saying, I'm not going to talk about it in front of haters. You know, she has a good job, like a gift at deflecting.
That's right, a good way to put it.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny because we talked about Mia in this part two and about like how she's sort of going after the other women on social media. And Andy deemed her this season's disaster on social media. And I was wondering, MJ, if you think that which Shaw is a disaster on social media.
So first of all, when Andy came for those two, and I'm talking about Candace and Mia, I was so glad that he was being straightforward with them about that disaster show, because they, like, he even Andy said something kind to Mia, like, well, maybe because it's your first season, you just don't know better. And like, you'll figure it out on the second round that you're just, this is a disaster. And like, she owned a little bit of it, or, you know, I loved how she at first said, it's my social media manager. And then it was like, oh, my social media manager is my lifelong best friend. She's basically my twin.
Right.
Like, oh, I thought you didn't mean any of these. Now your twin is, it was just crazy. So like at the end when she owned it, that was really nice to see. And like, I hate what, excuse me, I don't like to use the word hate, but like, I really hate to see people go nuts, like crazy, like psycho on these Twitter rants, because they're so damaging. They're there into perpetuity. You can never unsay these. And, you know, sometimes the tweets have a really, 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 really lasting effect. And yes, that applies to stuff that's happened between Reza and Tommy, you know, because like you asked me, who do I think was the, which Shaw do I think is the worst? And unfortunately, I wish it was none of us. But it's Reza. I mean, and then Tommy fires back, and then I'm in the middle of it. And then everyone's, you know, just getting more hurt and more upset. And now I'm still trying to, of course, make all that stuff go away. So like, if there was no Twitter at all, we would not have gained or lost. We wouldn't have gained anything from Twitter. We've only got to like heal from the damage that these rants have caused.
Right.
Like on our relationships and like on a deep level, like even if I see, like on the day that I gave birth, Golnessa posted something negative and I don't even want to talk about it, but like when I'm going through my telephone and like, you know, when you try to like you favorite things so that you can find them easier in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So like I came across some messages that I had saved and it was like, ugh, I don't want to see that again. Like, why did I favorite it? Because I want to like commemorate a negative day, like, an emotional low blow. Like, it's hard. So Twitter sucks. Thank you.
Not an ad. I have to say though, I really do love Mia and I do think she's all over the place, but I think she's learning. And that was, like you said, MJ, the point that Andy was bringing up, like, is this just, you're figuring it out as you go and you're getting messy on Twitter, but you're learning from it. And Megan, you remember, I had said that a few months back at this point, you know, she had sort of owned some of the things that she said on social media and been like, I'm going to do better. And you know, actions speak louder than words. She hasn't quite gotten there. But I do think if we have her in another season of the show, she will come back with a more refreshed and different energy and maybe be just a little bit more together. Well, not, right. Probably not too together, but just a right. little bit, a little bit more.
We don't want too much growth ever.
Yeah, not too much, but just enough.
Well, you know, what I don't agree with, maybe Andy said it, was that she was a flip-flopper, because, you know, one day she says this and the next day. I mean, I think that's a really hard thing to navigate when you're learning and just entering a brand new group of friends. So, and to credit what you're saying, Eric, I totally agree, because like I really enjoy watching her. I love watching her. And I think that if she comes in through Karen and then she connects with Giselle, I mean, like you can't hold it against her to want to figure out who's who. And, you know, I mean, that's what we're here to do. And
yeah,
I just think that's, I guess maybe I've been accused of being a flip-flopper like several years ago. And it's like, all I'm trying to do is make everyone happy. Like, I'm trying to mend fences and explore our relationships. And it's, you know what the thing is, as a matter of fact, really quickly jumping on SLC, like, you don't want friends that punish you for being friendly to other girls in the group. That's not
right.
Cool.
Right. Right. Okay. So next up on Potomac that I want to talk about is Wendy and Candace, and I guess essentially their friendship dynamic.
Alliance is yes. What it feels like. I yes. Didn't know they were so close.
I know. Right?
Things must happen off camera that we don't see, or after they wrap the reunion or whatever, because when Wendy came on Watch What Happens Live and said she does it better than everybody else, I was like, Candace does it the best. I was like, I don't know if Candace does it the best. I mean, definitely not better than Kim. I mean, Karen and Giselle. So I was like looking at that very conspicuously, trying to say, where did that alliance come from exactly? How was it cultivated?
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And I think it's getting in the way of some important issues that they should address. And for me, I'm curious why Wendy doesn't hold Candace a little more accountable about the body shaming stuff because of right. Everything that she's been through this season about her body.
And she says that all of the body stuff is rooted in misogyny. So then, like, why isn't Candace held to that standard too?
Exactly.
100%. 100%. Well, I want to know. I hope that they address it soon. And I'm sure that they'll start filming again soon enough to address that question. That's the beautiful thing. It's like, until they talk everything out, and the same goes with my friends and my show, it's like things linger, then they have to get hammered out so that you can move on.
Right.
The body shaming, I think that it was even Andy was like at the reunion, he said to Wendy, he was like, were you Zen? Like, you know, like, and is it that hard for people to have been taken aback by the plastic surgery because you were so, like, you know, professor, and I'm a professor, and I'm this and I'm that, and I'm a doctor, and she didn't really. I thought if Andy was asking the question, that it was fair to sort of say, like, hey, like, this is the reason behind it, and then I'm feeling judged, therefore seeing Candace do it was extreme of like what she did to Ashley. Sorry, I'm getting a little, I'm like all over the place with my pronouns, but you guys know what I'm saying.
No, like, that makes sense.
Andy called it out. I appreciated the question. Wendy didn't really have a good emotion, like, not only not that she needed an explanation, but Wendy didn't really, like, she felt attacked by the group, therefore she never really opened up to it. You know, she right. Felt like Giselle and Robin kind of just like came at her, and it made her close up. So, like, why she didn't step up to Candace when Candace was attacking Ashley, I really, really don't know, other than maybe she just needed an alliance somewhere and they were getting it somehow that we didn't see.
Well, and especially yeah. Because I feel like probably the answer, it has something to do with, look, I'd never been on TV before, and suddenly seeing myself from all angles, I didn't really like it. So, like, I decided to do something about it. You know, like, even that would be an explanation that's understandable why she made such big changes. But yeah, I think that, like you said, she's in such defense mode that she's not willing to just sort of yes. Talk it out in a way that, yeah.
If you shame me about something as a conversation opener, I'm not going to then be like, oh, this feels like a safe space. Let me right. Just explain more.
Yeah.
You know? Because, like, I feel that I connect to, like, when I've had breast reduction, some people came at me, they were like, you need a breast reduction. People would be like, your breasts are, like, so big. You should. And I was like, why do you feel okay saying that? But on the right. Other hand, I was like, I already had one. So it's really weird. Like, yeah, you're right. I should have gone smaller. And I wish I would have. 2020 hindsight, God knows what happens. Like, when you first get surgery, that too puts you in a really vulnerable space because you've just been, you know, someone has just made incisions on your private parts, and it's a whole other thing. But like, I will add one more thing about the work that the ladies get done and that we all should get done whenever we damn well please. I didn't know that. I liked this kind of shade when she said, what about Giselle? What about your tummy tuck?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
You had a whole tummy tuck. Okay. Did you keep Jamal?
When I heard that, I was like, oh my God, should I get a tummy tuck? Like, why am I working out every day and like worried about it? So it was really funny when she brought that up. I was like, would I come for someone else if I had the same thing done? Like, I definitely wouldn't.
I do want to ask you your thoughts on this, because I think that there's two schools of thought when it comes to women on our shows being asked about plastic surgery. Like, I remember Erica Girardi getting really offended one reunion when Andy's like, you know, what work have you guys had done? And she was just like, you shouldn't ask us that. Like, you know, that's no one's business. But then, like you're saying, sometimes when you find out that someone has had something, it's almost like, okay, you know, you're bursting this bubble of that's an idea of unrealistic perfection, you know, like sometimes right. There's comfort in knowing that, like, oh, okay, it's not just that you work out all the time or that you were just born perfect. Like,
yes.
So do you think it's fair to be asked about it?
No, because I don't think it's fair, because like we said, everyone's got an emotional connection with their own like personal baggage or trauma around their bodies.
Right.
So I think that if somebody has an easy time talking about it, great for them, but they should also not automatically assume that everyone else in the room is down to talk about it. You know, like,
yeah,
we're not. So the thing is that when it comes to Erica, I like it when people don't ask, because it's very old fashioned. It's like, don't ever ask me my age, darling.
Right.
All of those cool old school things. But like, when it comes to finding out that someone got a tummy tuck and I'm over here with like a 33 inch waist, like, you know, stressing out about it, I'm like, what? If you had a tummy tuck, maybe that would help me.
Yeah.
When I'm sitting here wondering how you have an 18 inch waist, you know? So like, that's very important, Megan. And I love that you kind of just bringing it up is so healing too, because yes, you want to know someone has not naturally woken up and it's not because they have some kind of crazy willpower.
Right.
No, because they went under the knife, because on a day-to-day basis, we're like constantly fighting, like, make good meal choices. Did you get enough cardio? You know, so am I seeing results? What am I not doing? You know, so it's a really, really good point you make about helping people shaping their sanity and their, like, people's self-confidence is at stake here, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
It's good for our self-esteem to know that other women are getting stuff done and looking great as a result.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, the last thing I'm going to say about this reunion, just my final thought, is I couldn't believe how well Giselle took the talking about the STD rumor. Like, she was so not bothered by that. And I just feel like, I mean, I feel like her name and STD was mentioned like 10 times in this reunion. And even though it was all like from a rumor from a, you know, non-credible blog, I would still be like, okay, we're still talking about this an awful lot. And she just seemed, I think, which is good. Like, it was a very non-hypocritical moment for her, because she said to Wendy, like, if it's not true, why are you bothered? You know, we know it's not true. And I was like, wow, she really put her money where her mouth is, because she does not seem bothered by this.
It's so true.
Yeah, you guys, I think that was a pro move. She is a veteran, seasoned participant in her life. She was like, you know what? I'm not going to give that any energy. She is every one of us, how we want to respond when something,
right. You
know, to bury it and not fan any flames or, you know, breathe any life into it. And then what happens? They moved on. I mean, there's nothing else to say. I think it's amazing to remain stoic, because I believe that it's hard as a single woman to, I'm not single, but obviously she's single and she has to have that information out there, which in the DMV, DC Metro, Virginia, DC, Maryland, Virginia, it's a small town. Like I grew up there. I know it. You don't want rumors, false rumors going around that you have anything going on. So like she had to just like let that fall. Like Hotbox, I mean, like one of the first things that came out of Karen's mouth about Giselle this season was Hotbox or Fiery Hot. I'm like, it's not easy, but she handled it like a pro.
Really, honestly.
It's very true. I think Candace and Mia could both stand to take a few lessons from the way Giselle handles things.
And Candace has been around. So Candace, you know, Mia, we give it's only been her first season pass.
Yep.
Does Candace deserve the same pass? Mm. Especially on Twitter?
Yeah.
Should we get into Salt Lake?
Oh, please.
Oh my gosh. Burning calories right now.
I mean, the roller coaster of emotions in this one van ride felt to me like the entire season of Beverly Hills. You know, it was just like so many revelations and crying and like
and laughing.
Yeah, it was just like everything all at once. Just like I was having so much trouble like thinking about how I'm supposed to react to the whole thing.
I thought it was really sweet that Heather was like, no, I mean, Homeland Security said they're worried about her. I think they're trying to protect her. It's just like, oh, Heather.
I know, bless her heart.
I asked them several times and they said, we just want to talk to her and make sure she is okay.
Is she like
they're trying to protect her. They're not like trying to get her. They're trying to protect her.
That might be a tactic to, you know, I don't know.
I love Heather. Don't you? She's an amazing person. And shout out to Heather Gay. We follow each other on the gram. She's every single one of us. Remember earlier today, I was saying like, I'm a bad judge of character. I think everyone is good.
Yes.
That's Heather. She's got an amazing soul.
Oh, I was going to say, she also has the stamp of approval from Rihanna, which MJ, I believe you are also followed by yes. Rihanna on Instagram.
Crazy. That was the best thing that could ever happen to me. She is the most beautiful, stylish, badass, not to mention my favorite vocal artist, female vocal artist of all time. I mean, I can listen to all her music a loop. Thank you.
Just keep it going.
Do you remember when she started following you?
I found out about it on Twitter because someone just tweeted it and I was like, oh, what? And then I ran to the gram and was like, oh my God. Wow.
It's so amazing.
yes.
Okay. So back to Heather, you know, she really was trying to give Jen the benefit of the doubt. And that just goes to show how she is such a good and loyal friend. Whether she should or shouldn't be to Jen is, you know, that's a whole other conversation. But it just really does show who Heather is as a person.
I just was going to say that she just also had some like amazing one-liners in this episode, because when Jenny, who like could not care less, was like going through Jen's snacks, she was like, it's like you're pillaging her grave. And then when they were talking about money laundering and someone was like, well, how does that even work? She's like, well, from watching Ozark, and then proceeded to explain all the businesses that are best for laundering money.
So relatable. We all feel like an expert when we watch shows like Ozark or a true crime documentary. Everyone becomes an expert, a detective, whatever. Like, she was onto something.
That's my favorite stuff to do. You know what? I have to say something. It is not a conversation whether or not Heather should remain a friend to Jen Shaw. Because let me tell you something, sisters and misters, when you are going through something hard, like you have to have somebody your body is probably having an out of body experience 24/7. Your future is in complete uncertainty. She has children. She has a life. It's all instantly very, very public on an international level. And I don't think that a person's best friends should take that as a time to like make a moral call. Like you have to be there for them because it's not, first of all, she's not even guilty. And even if someone makes a mistake, as big of a mistake as that is, I'm not excusing the behavior. I'm just talking about people needing friends to stand by them through tough times. Yeah. So when people turn their back, that to me is very sheepish. And I think that, you know, like after they're done and after they're well, then if you want to like say, you know what, maybe I'm going to break off, you know, but not for another 2 years when this stuff is like long behind her. You have to remain a friend. I don't know how, you know, oof, sorry. Well,
I mean, no, everything you're saying is pretty much what Erica was saying by the end of the Beverly Hills reunion, just being like, I'm going to remember in, you know, a year, 2 years, however long this takes to be done, I'm going to remember who was there and who wasn't. Like that's something that's going to stay with her.
Yes. And I 100%, I don't, you know, Erica and I follow each other. I've sent her messages that along the way for what they're worth. And, you know, even though I can't imagine what she's going through and I can't imagine the pain of, you know, people, the victims of the Tom Girardi stuff is, you know, I see it as separate things. And yeah, she's right. She's right. She's going to remember. And I hope that she, I don't even know if she can ever forgive and move on with the people who turned their back on her.
Right. You know? Right.
Like what's the point if you're not going to be here for me when I need you? Cause remember the old adage, a friend in need is a friend indeed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's true. We're talking a little bit about, you know, Heather being armchair detective, you know, referencing Ozark and everything, but Whitney's really the one in this episode who seems to be
everything. I mean,
she's like Nancy Drewing herself through this whole thing. I mean, she might be onto something, but how does she have all of this quick knowledge? Does she also run a similar business in terms of lead generation, all that stuff? It's just like, she's just rattling these things off the top of her head.
So when you buy data, you can actually select what demographic you want.
Yes,
so they
yes.
would select vulnerable people, people who have disabilities, people who are elderly,
like on
who
fixed
maybe
income.
Aren't in the best state of mind, like don't have the best decision-making because they're old, alone in
vulnerable,
the house.
Yes.
Vulnerable,
yes.
They buy that data and sell to them fake shit. Get them on a subscription, get their credit card charged every month and they can't get off of it. And this elderly person has no idea that they're on a subscription and that their credit card's being charged every single month.
I just know that like I really didn't have a grasp of what Jen was being accused of doing, like when I was reading the articles. And then Whitney explained it so clearly and quickly. And I was like, oh, okay, got it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. We're more familiar with MLM, multi-level, and you know, I think that she sounded like someone who had heard about it before and had looked into it. And I love the way that she has just come back from her first season to this season because she's really got her head screwed on tight and right. Like she called out Lisa Barlow at that dinner. She explained herself so articulately on the bus about her understanding of lead generation. And everything about Heather is like so impressive. She like knocks us over with like her way of, it's like explaining it that a five-year-old could understand. I mean,
right.
She's a smarty pants.
My question for you, MJ, in reference to Lisa Barlow, I love Lisa. I think she is just so fun and entertaining and such a good housewife for many reasons. But a lot of what's been happening this season is she's been accused of orchestrating things, setting people up. As someone who's been on a reality show, do you see these patterns in what Lisa's been doing this season?
100%. I also think Lisa Barlow is stunning. I love to watch her fashion, her style. She's just like visually incredible. And But I think that her armor, like her exterior, is completely broken down, completely like hurt. She has no, not a lot of credibility anymore, because like the first year we saw her as pretty harmless, you know, like there was nothing negative to say about her. Now, I 100% believe Lisa orchestrated these things. I think Whitney called her out at that restaurant, and I just don't think that she's coming off very well. I mean, we haven't even gotten into the her calling her like seven lawyers on that bus. I mean,
yes.
It feels like she's, I'm sorry that I'm not finding my words, but she's kind of having like an implosion. She like when she was on Watch What Happens Live, she was focused on the camera. She was looking at the audience rather than just being real. So I think Lisa's great on the outside, and I have a lot of questions for her on the inside.
I just think it was interesting to be able to watch her face on this bus ride. Like, I just feel like her position on Jen changed very, like, before our very eyes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just... things came together for Lisa very quickly in what happened in the parking lot, and then over the course of the bus ride, you know, there were a lot of wheels turning in her mind.
I want to talk about this accusation from a couple of people. Well, it wasn't even an accusation, but it was definitely a wondering if Jen is a sugar baby.
But I did not think it would be something like this. I thought she had a sugar daddy or something. That's it. I mean, I had a sugar daddy.
Yes. Okay. Yes. But also, we need to figure out what's going on with Whitney and this sugar daddy that she once had.
I didn't know, like, she meant Justin.
Who she's referring to?
I don't know. Or maybe she had a separate guy. But seriously, I thought that I could no longer be a sugar baby because I had aged out. But if you're telling me that it is possible for someone Jen Shaw's age to be a sugar baby, this changes a lot of things for me.
It's very true.
That's true. I mean, so you raise a question for me. As far as the sugar baby, before I lose my train of thought, what piques my curiosity the most was that as the night unfolded, you saw Lisa needing to know where the Uber was dropped off and who she might have seen that
night.
Is that the connection to the sugar baby?
They said something like, I thought maybe she was seeing someone. And then, yeah, Whitney had said sugar baby. So I guess it's possible she was just cheating.
But Lisa Barlow was really concerned about who specifically Jen was going to see. So it's like,
it's like she knows there's someone.
Lisa Barlow has skin in the game. Like, it's somebody that she doesn't want it to be. Like, it's not just a non-factor who it was with. She really wanted to find out. And she knew that night is where someone else was, that she was going to, like connect important dots for her.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So, yeah,
it seemed like it.
Yeah. I didn't think of it like that. That's a really good point.
Because, okay. So Heather tells everyone, I got her an Uber that night and then I tracked it. And then it stopped in the middle of nowhere for a long time. Then all of a sudden, Lisa Barlow is like, what? Where was it? Who did she meet? Like, she had a million questions. And I just feel like this episode is packed with so much.
Whew. And people still aren't saying everything. Like, people are still holding some stuff in.
Right. Well, what do you guys think of the way Meredith reacted? Because obviously, except for Jenny, she had quite a contrast to how the rest of the women were reacting in the bus. They were getting very emotional. There were tears. Meredith was a lot more stoic. She didn't seem too shocked. I personally am not shocked that she's not shocked. But did you guys think that that was maybe a red flag or
she
something?
She seemed gleeful almost.
As gleeful as Meredith can be. Meredith's very often like just, you know... doesn't emote too much, but I guess that's the most gleeful that we've seen her in a while.
Honey, she was celebrating. I mean, she would not get out of that bathtub. She wanted more bubbles. She wanted to greet every single person in that house in the bathtub. And I honestly think she's going to get a lot of questions about why she was in the tub from the time that Mary arrived and still in the tub by the time everyone else arrived, because we don't know how much real time that was. And I think that if she why does someone want to be in the bathtub for that long? Like,
it was so like, pruny.
So pruny. It was giving me like Bond villain vibes, you know? I was like, ooh, she's got something going on here.
Oh, for sure. And then karma kind of got her on the chin with that bubble that she got like a white beard for it. And like Mary didn't even tell her to like wipe it off.
I was just going to say, do we think it's fair though that she's sort of celebrating, because it is terrible what's, you know, happening, but at the same time, if Jen came after her son, maybe she deserves to have a little bit of happiness over this.
It seems like Meredith feels as though this is Jen's karma. That seems to be her perspective on the whole thing, which we do know from the preview for next week that Meredith had hired a PI. So there's definitely stuff that she is aware of that she's uncovered through this PI or something. There's far more to it than what we were presented with in this episode. But fundamentally, it almost seems like she feels as though Jen had it coming.
Yeah. You know what I think? I think that if something bad had happened to Jen Shaw, that Meredith would have a completely different reaction. But, you know, that would be like, if God forbid something like what happened with Dorit, like there was a tragedy, an attack, then Meredith would have had empathy and she would probably run to her aid. But if she, in fact, on the contrary, committed a crime and Meredith knew about it, then she was like, I can sit back because in my opinion, this woman allegedly did these bad things. So now I'm glad that she's getting exposed for her own actions and her not being a good person, because she hurt my family, she harmed me and my son. And, you know, Meredith felt that Jen Shaw was outing her son. And that's something that you can never, never give back to your boy, you know? Yeah. So if Meredith is just like relishing this, which it definitely looks like she is, it's not because she did something bad to Jen. It's because she believes allegedly Jen did something bad to Jen. So, you know, I mean, I think it's savage of her, but like, it's her choice, you know, like to be like, yes, bitch, this is what happened. You got caught. And now everyone knows what I've known for, you know, a lot of years. And this is all alleged. Yeah. Like, this is all just what we think maybe might be running through Meredith Marks' head.
Well, and it seems like they've all been holding these sort of secrets about Jen that they now think, well, now we can come out with it. Like the whole thing about Jen's, you know, employee stole from Meredith, or being red flagged at Louis Vuitton, or, you know, the weird Uber ride. Like, it's like everyone has a story about Jen. And I'm like, do you all have weird facts about everyone or just Jen? Because there's a lot of sharing happening.
Excuse me, getting flagged at Louis Vuitton, who's going to pay cash? Especially I don't even pay cash for the cheapest thing that Louis Vuitton sells. Like, first of all, I don't even step foot into that store unless it's a really, you know, landmark occasion in my life to get something. That every piece is a life piece. She's paying cash. Who has cash? Who even has, like, I don't even have $20, or, you know, let alone a duffel bag is like $3,000. Like, I just don't understand. Like, it's true. Like, if you know that you're getting money in an illegal way, you are also supposed to cover your ass, aren't you? I mean,
right. Like, be a little more stealthy about it.
Right.
Oof. Could you see someone like pulling out, okay, ma'am, that'll be $7,000. Oh, let me pull out like a stack of 7,000.
hate to make the connection, but Teresa Giudice on her first season of Real Housewives of New Jersey, she was paying for something that was like thousands of dollars, and she pulled out cash and she was counting out the cash.
Well, I mean, maybe not the best example given what happened to Teresa.
I'm just saying, I don't know if that's...
But great observation.
Oh boy.
Curious, MJ, what do you think conversations with production were like at this point? Because obviously in the last episode in particular, we had a lot of breaking the fourth wall, even in this one with the producers going to Jen's house and, you know, filming and talking to the officers. I can only imagine the panic that must have been going through a lot of production's mind, but also the opportunity to be like, we need to capture as much of this and tell this story as best we can in real time. Like, what do you think that frenzy was like?
I mean, I know the producers of that show because they also produce our show. And so they are, all I can say about them is that they are the most equipped producers to receive the craziest life happenings, life stuff. And I'm sure they were freaking out and going, I can't freaking believe this. This is surreal, you know? And they moved so fast and they were so agile. And, you know, I love that we saw the bus in real time. And I think that they are just did a great job, but like it's intense for them too. They're going through everything just like we are, you know. And so
presumably some of them are quite close to Jen.
Oh yes. I mean, the beautiful thing about producers is that they're emotionally invested in our lives and in our choices, and they really do try to see us win, and they do root for us, and you know, they're really good people behind the camera. They're really good people who have to like actually deal with all our different complicated high maintenance personalities too. So yeah, it's got to be an amazing job, and I hope that each and every one of them write a tell-all at some point. Yeah.
Oh my god, same.
Yeah, we'd be reading it.
All right, final thoughts on this episode.
Can't wait till next week.
I know. I just ignore.
I know. Yes. Well, don't forget that you can watch the after show. We do hear from Jen. She talks about what happens when she leaves the Beauty Lab parking lot, about who she thought that the phone call was potentially about. It's pretty interesting. Should we do Winter House?
Next week is going to be the finale.
I know
already. It's like, I'm not ready for it to be over.
Well, Angie, what do you think about this show?
Okay, so I love the crossover with Southern Charm and Summer House. I think it's such a good idea that they have such a big cast. You know, you're starting to really get to know Paige for the first time, even though she's been in previous seasons. And I love it. And I didn't enjoy watching her be disappointed by Andrea, but like, you know, again, she's so relatable in this situation. You know, I can shut up and let you ask me specific questions, or I can give you my overview.
No, give the overview.
Yeah.
Okay. I really felt bad for Kyle and Amanda getting put into that tiny, ugly, little tiny room with like, it looked like a twin bed. Didn't even look
Kyle like felt bad for Kyle too.
Yes.
And it's not like they have to have the master, the primary. It's just that I just felt like their alternative was such a bad room. And I just felt, and it was like messy and they just didn't have any closet space. And she had that wardrobe rack on the side. I mean, to me that would have like put a damp, you kind of saw that put a damper on Kyle's trip.
Right.
Like set a precedence, and I don't know if he ever got over it. Craig is so cute. Like we didn't get a lot of Craig, but like he's just so handsome, and I'm so excited that he's, you know, dating Pay. I mean, I'm happy for them. I haven't seen them in person as a couple, but I'm friends with Paige. Anyway, who else? So Ciara falls for, oh my gosh. My other overall comment is Austin Kroll. he's tall. People who are mad that he gets all this ass, because people everywhere are like, why does Austin get so much ass? Like, why do girls fall for him? It's like, dude, because he's like 6'4".
He's really tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a big flirt. And look at the way that he walked in and saw Lindsay, who I have a whole other diatribe for Lindsay.
Oh.
I'm just pausing for breath. No, but seriously, like Lindsay, she stole my heart this season. Never in the previous seasons of Summer House did I like her to this deep level, because I mean, keeping a journal of all the boys that she wanted to marry, it was definitely not working in her favor. But like, she appeared on Watch What Happens and Andy was, you know, asking all these questions for like Kroll or Jason. And she was like, oh my God, I can't do this. And she kept going, okay, Jason. And it was like, you just saw that there was like a really soft heart beneath all of that, you know? And then the last two people, if I didn't forget anyone, it's the, I felt bad for, what's the name of the blonde girl who has a boyfriend?
Julia.
Okay. So it says it right there. I couldn't remember Julia's name and I felt bad for her that she didn't feel as included because she was, you know, paired up, like don't necessarily come to Winter House in a relationship.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then Gabby, poor thing. I wish that Luke would have just thrown her a bone.
Yeah, just like slept with her once.
Yes.
That's like, all she was asking for, really.
No strings attached. You know, she even said it. She said, let's just do it without strings and see where it goes. But, you know, her approach was like, she just kind of looked like sad girl, like along the whole trip. She was kind of, you know, she didn't get included with the Ciara Paige friendship. She didn't really bond with Jules because she kind of felt like Jules went in for Luke. I mean, she just seemed like she was not included, and like that she kind of like put a damper on her game, because saying to Luke, like, do you know what I said to you? I said, I want you inside of me. That wasn't like quite swagalicious.
That's very true.
When she was telling him that, you know,
she was off her game on that one. She was definitely off her game.
I want you inside me.
Oh, wow, buddy.
Gabby got rejected.
I see it more as a friendship.
Yeah, so now it's almost over. Next week is going to be the Summer House finale, and oh boy, like I'm not ready for it to end at all.
If you could do a Winter House type situation, Shaw's with one other cast, who would it be?
Ooh.
Okay, it won't be Mike because he's too secretive and private. So, and it's with another Shaw, and I get to choose whom?
No. If it was all of the Shaws, but another Bravo show.
Like a crossover. Yeah.
Okay. So we're all very, very friendly with, Southern Charm, and we're very friendly with Vanderpump Rules.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah. So I feel like it would make sense for it to be one of those two. Is that good? Well, who'd you guys pair us up with?
Well, I would say just because we have the Summer House and Southern Charm, I would want to see you guys with Vanderpump for sure.
So yeah, we have a lot of history with BPR, so I'm sure it would be a great pairing.
Yeah, and plus you guys both have moms.
Yes, and plus they shot Winter House in 2 weeks, 16 days. So yeah. How cool is that?
I know, it's like a crash course in partying.
Yeah. And I love just the idea of like being on an island with, you know, certain number, whatever, 10 people. I'm like, I use it figuratively, and on an island, quote unquote, would be fun.
Right. Yeah. I'm just like impressed that they can party the way they do and then get up and go skiing the next day. Like that would not be me.
In the elevation.
Right. Yes. It's so true.
Like people pass out just because they need to adjust to the altitude, for sure.
That was me in Denver a few weeks ago. I was like, I could not hang. I was just like dried out. My head was hurting. Not for me. Too high.
People famously, like A-list celebrities famously pass out when they go to Sundance because they land and then they're doing like red carpets and press junkets. And they actually needed to, the nurses and stuff say like, no, you guys need to just lay down for like the first 24 hours and not do anything so that your body can adjust to the altitude.
Oh my That's God. Really yeah.
Interesting.
And you well, have right. to drink like... extra water. You really do. These are facts. Yes.
This is good to know. This is Dravid. Really good to know in case I go out to Salt Lake anytime soon.
Yeah. So I love the crossover and I love these big, the bigger casts. So I love to see it on this show on Vanderpump. I love to see it on like the housewives that only have five housewives, like New York, I feel is too few. But when you look at Beverly Hills and Atlanta and Potomac, there's a few more ladies in the game. And I think it makes for a much more interesting dynamic.
I agree.
More to work with.
Yeah. More to work with, more personalities, more opinions, more warm bodies that are up to no good.
That is literally the tagline of this show, I think.
We are here to trigger you and activate you and all other things.
I mean, I think that was pretty good on Winter House. Should we do Rose and Thorn?
Yeah, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
So my rose for sure would be Jenny from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, because I admire that she doesn't pretend to care what's happening with Jen. She's like, I'm not invested in this person yet. I basically just met her and you're telling me she was arrested? All right. Like she just could not care less.
She was like, it's only charges. She hasn't been convicted. It's fine.
I know.
Unbothered. Like, I don't know who was more unbothered, her or Meredith, just like lying in that bathtub.
Right.
Well, my rose was from Winter House and it is Paige quoting Kris Jenner. This is a case for the FBI, which I love using that GIF too, because it's just so hilarious. And it's from such an old season of Kardashians, but it has just stood the test of time. And I love when I hear, you know, Kyle on Beverly Hills quoting famous Beverly Hills quotes. And I love Paige quoting Kris Jenner.
Well, this is a case for the FBI.
Yes. Okay. My rose is Heather Gay because she knows how to show up when someone is in need, no matter what they're going through. I love how her immediate reaction, her raw reaction, shows truly what a good person she is.
It's a good Agreed. One. I love it.
Okay, now we got to do Thorn. Megan, what was your thorn?
Okay, so my thorn is from Vanderpump Rules, and it's just that James is talking to Lala about why he has such strong opinions on Raquel not getting a nose job and saying, like, of course I care, like, what she looks like. When I first met her, I took her home because she was hot. It wasn't because I thought she was, like, super smart. And it was just like, James, like, we know it's true, but don't say it, you know?
Why did I want to take her home that night I met her on New Year's Eve, right? Did I know how deep she was? Did I know how kind and patient she was that night? No, I didn't. I knew that she was a 6-foot supermodel from California, and I wanted to, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on.
I know, you can always count on James for a comment like that.
That was, below the belt stuff that you can, like, never forget, even though you want to.
Yeah, it's on camera, too.
Into perpetuity.
I think I would give my thorn to, it's kind of more so from last week's Below Deck, but it spilled over into this week. It's just those charter guests.
Oh, they were terrible.
Oh my God. They were harassing each other. They were harassing the crew, just like drunken mess people. And they had to have this sit down with Captain Lee where he was like, please don't disrespect my crew. Like, you're going to spend all that money to get onto a boat and then act like that? Come on.
It was definitely blackout drunk. And I wonder sometimes, do they watch it and think they look cool? Or do they feel like, oh, I got to do better. How humiliating. But like, hopefully it's a wake up call for them.
Yeah. You know?
Because Agreed. Nobody was having a good time. That guy himself was not having a good time.
No.
He was a bad drunk. He was not smiling or laughing or enjoying anything. He was just an angry drunk. So that's unfortunate.
What was your thorn, MJ?
I think this isn't, can I give another rose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. My rose is going to go to Sheena and Brock. I think that they are going through a lot. It being Brock's first season, having to bring up something from his, what was it? He says it was like 7 to 10 years ago past, and how it's coming back up. How, you know, Lala is throwing it at him, and that's, you know, makes her look like a hypocrite, but, you know, that's another story. I just think that they're, Sheena and Brock are gonna like change, like surprise us as we get to know them, and let's not judge them from, you know, his actions from when he says like he was a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's give him the chance. You're so sweet. You didn't even have a thorn. You just had two roses.
Well, it was a thorn at the people judging them and being hypocritical.
Yeah.
There you go.
So yeah, you guys are the best. You guys are so awesome.
Thank you so much. We love having thanks for joining us.
We really needed your support through this Salt Lake City drama, you know?
Yes. And you know, there's so much more we're going to hear about, because we didn't really touch on Jenny, who gave us so much. And we've got all these parts that are, you know, going to fall into pieces as we keep watching. And the after show, like you said, I'm definitely going to tune in and find that on YouTube or BravoTV.com.
Yep, both. Yeah, it's either place.
Awesome.
Well, everyone needs to go listen to Till the Dirt, MJ and Tommy's podcast.
Yeah.
We're a good time, we promise. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at BravoTV.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.